The Cap'n J Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Go to Tito'sHometownTales.com and hear the stories of Chicago's defining sports moments through the lens of your favorite ESPN 1000 hosts. That's Tito'sHometownTales.com.
Cap J Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
In the great city of Chicago, our second basketball team won the title last night.
Stop it.
I know.
Stop it.
People.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
It's only 90 miles.
90 miles. They're in the central, but not in our city.
They're not.
Game on, Bulls.
Yep. You're up.
Now, again, as I asked you, Cap, I don't know if that is the formula. This could be the Dallas Mavericks. And Dirk's only championship for the Bucks.
It
could
be.
I just want to know, like, is you know how it's a copycat league, right? Anytime someone wins a championship, it's like, well, how'd you do that? Well, you got to find a 7-foot, Greek player.
Who's a freak.
So where do you find him? Exactly.
Exactly, so. Right. All right, time for shot or no shot.
That's why I say shot. No shot. With Cap'n J Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I say
shot or no shot is brought to you by PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse.
Yeah.
PointsBet Sportsbook is now open. Download the PointsBet app right now and stop by Hawthorne Racecourse. Don't even have to get out of the car and register your account.
Or out of your chair.
Danny.
Gentlemen, you're just talking about the NBA Finals and the Milwaukee Bucks. Let's start there. Giannis Antetokounmpo had the Larry O'Brien Trophy in one arm. He had the NBA Finals MVP Trophy in the other, and he had a cigar in his mouth. He ended up with 50 points, 14 rebounds, 5 block shots as the Bucks beat the Suns in Game 6 to win the NBA championship. Last night, after the game, on SportsCenter, Michael Wilbon, who's a regular on Waddle and Sylvie, said it might be the greatest individual performance in NBA Finals history. Gentlemen, I ask you, is that just shot or no shot? That's just recency bias.
That is a shot. My God, man. Did he not see Michael Jordan play? Did you not see him?
He did mention, to give him a little bit of a break, he said, when I think about the greatest performances in NBA Finals history, Michael Jordan's 45 and Magic Johnson in 1980 come to mind. And then he went back and he said, but I think this might be the greatest of all time. But he did mention Michael and Magic.
Okay. Well, you know, you're going to get heat with Michael. You won't be able to play golf with him or drink with him. Okay, well, Bonnie, you want to risk that? Go ahead. Because I took it personal, you know, because Michael will take it personal.
Correct.
And he'll cut you off.
So I look at the Magic performance at number one.
6'9 center.
6'9 point guard.
Yeah.
Oh, Kareem's hurt. I'll play center. And he's a rookie. And he scores 42 points as a rookie.
That's a hell of a performance.
That's in a clinch game. That for me is the best I've ever seen. Ever. Michael was amazing. I mean, he's the best player of all time. Last night's on that, in that pantheon, it's right there.
How about the free throws, right? Like Chris Paul going into game 6 took a shot at Giannis, saying that we have to get the rebounds when he misses the free throws because even he expects to miss.
Yeah, he made 17 of 19. It was amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah. That was the ultimate take that from Giannis, by the way. Was it not?
It was amazing.
That was the ultimate take that.
It's really silly and subtle, but I love the fact that he was able to get that 50th point because it is, for whatever reason, that nice round number of 50 is going to be so much easier when people go to the recall. Giannis is 50 in the closeout game. 49, it would change nothing about the performance, but in terms of like historic feats and how it will be remembered, I think just hitting that magic number, that magic round number of 50, will make it that much more memorable.
Just remember what James Harden said. I wish I was 7 foot and you just can run and dunk. Well, take that and, you know, put that in your beard and smoke it.
Yeah, exactly.
How about that beard?
He was.
How about you don't have a championship? How about
put that in your beard and smoke it.
How
must be
that?
A beard thing with JR, too.
So I would say it's recency bias. Like, I know that was a great performance, but Cap said it. You think about that Magic Johnson playing as a center, as a rookie. You didn't know he was going to be able to flourish without the captain, but he got it done. And Michael, too.
I remember watching that game going, oh, the Lakers are screwed. And he was amazing.
So I would say recency bias.
Danny.
All right, gentlemen, your White Sox are 57-37. They're running away with the AL Central. The Sox have seen their catcher, their left fielder, their center fielder, their second baseman.
58-37.
Oh, sorry. I didn't calculate yesterday's. They've seen their catcher, left fielder, center fielder, second baseman all miss significant time. Their opening day right fielder was sent away because he was just a jag. The Sox have seen 13 different guys get at least 100 plate appearances, and that number jumps up to 15 if you include Jake Lamb, who's got 99, and Billy Hamilton, who has 99. So I ask you guys, shot or no shot, as of right now, this moment, if Tony La Russa does not win Manager of the Year, it's an absolute crime.
Shot. Tony La Russa is going to run away and hide with Manager of the Year. And all the haters are going to have to go, I got to give you credit, man. That guy was amazing. If I had told diehard Sox fans, my brother, you, I mean diehards, hey, man, you're going to lose this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy. And here's who's playing meaningful games. You would have been, oh, God. You thought you were in a fetal position about the Twins? You'd have thought the whole division was going to go by you. And you're running away and hiding.
I don't know, Jeff. I mean, it's A.J. Hinch has turned it around for the Tiger. I mean, listen, I mean, I didn't expect him to have 45 wins at this point.
They've been really good after first 6 weeks there where they struggled to get out of the gate. But this begs the question, Hoodie. Is this, at what point do we start considering this the greatest managerial job of all time? I think that's what we really, truly have to start focusing on. How many games, Cap, until we can go to that point?
At least the best in White Sox history.
Well, that's. I think we're already there.
He's better than Joe Maddon in 2016.
The question is greatest managerial jobs in the history of baseball. Yes. That's when we have to.
Joe Maddon 2016.
So understand this, guys. I want everyone to listen in very closely. Turn up your volume just a little bit. I want to make sure that you understand that my partner right now is writing a White Sox book about La Russa. Plan 2, Electric Boogaloo. You know, so the idea, like, he's talking up Tony big, you know, Tony's great, Tony the Tiger. You're writing a book about the White Sox. Shot or no shot?
No shot.
That's a lie.
No shot.
It's a lie. You are writing right now on your side. Every win, you're documenting. That's what you're doing.
No shot.
You're going to write a book about Tony. It's going to be a bestseller. Are you not doing that?
No shot.
Danny? He's for sure doing it. Why did he buy Sox season tickets? Come on now.
I was there. I want to see this up close. The renaissance of Tony La Russa. What a great story. Best since Bobby Cox. Take that.
I'm not a Sox fan, but as a non-Sox fan, I got to tell you, this team and what they did
I'm
is
just
so
telling
impressive.
You, man. I'm just telling you, man. Jack McKeon, he was good, but not like Tony. Take that.
The thing is, he's going to be writing it as under a different pen name because he knows if he puts it out as David Kaplan, it won't sell as well because a lot of people think David Kaplan is a Cubs fan. He's got the pen name
Bruce Kaplan, his brother, Sox fan.
Or Cave Daplin.
Yes.
Cave Daplin.
Cave Daplin.
Or be Cave it. I don't like Cave.
Or George Castle. Go ahead.
Gentlemen, Alabama football coach.
Wow.
Is there a sports book not written by George Castle? Like, it's easier just to assume he wrote everything.
I talked to Jerry, and he said to me,
how about that, Captain?
And I laughed, because he's right. Oh, God. Chapter 2. Oh, God. Chapter 3. Oh, God. Chapter 4. Jerry? Chapter 5. I knew it all the time. Chapter 6. Take that.
Chapter 7. He's writing a book, Danny. Danny!
Right. No shot. No shot. That'd be kindling for a lot of White Sox fans. Anyway, Danny.
Gentlemen. Oh, the White Sox book for Cub fans. That's the angle.
You're writing a book. That's fine, but go ahead.
All right, gentlemen, Alabama football coach Nick Saban hasn't even officially named Bryce Young as the Crimson Tide's starting quarterback, yet Saban said that Young is already approaching $1 million in endorsement deals. According to reports, Saban told the Texas High School Coaches Association convention on Tuesday that Young, who's a sophomore, is due to make ungodly numbers. Kind of like biblical losses, but yes, ungodly numbers. Now that the NCAA has allowed athletes to profit off their name, image, and likeness, so I ask you guys, shot or no shot, for fans, I'm talking not for the players, but for fans, this is the best thing to happen to college athletics.
Ooh, for the fans. That's a hell of a question.
Well, I'd say shot because this, man. Like Georgia, Clemson, Ohio State,
yeah,
Alabama, obviously. Like, there's a handful that every year you go, they're awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll keep getting great players. But if you're at, I don't know, pick a Nebraska.
Pitt.
Mm-hmm. Or any of these places, go back through your alumni directory and go, whoa, like Illinois, Larry Ellison's one of, like, 10 richest men in the world.
Mm-hmm.
He started Oracle. Well, what if Larry Ellison says, I like this Bielema dude. Hey, how much money do you need? I'll sign a deal. We'll get that quarterback out of wherever. We'll get that tackle. It levels the playing field, man.
So, Danny, when you say fans, are you talking about those with means that could be able to do what Cap is talking about?
No, I'm talking about you, Hoodie, who's a college football fan. Me, who's a college basketball fan.
Yeah.
I think the fact that a player like Bryce Young is getting $1 million is only going to help college football because he's going to be more enticed to stay, more enticed to play. There's going to be no reason for him to run to the pros. You know, he could make a great living and be the king of the hill down there at Alabama, right? He could stay through his senior year. No need to run to get into the NFL draft. He can, you know, it'd be done with classes by there and just be the big man on campus playing football for $1 million a year.
Okay, so when college basketball players leave, they leave for two reasons. One, because they want to take, like, here's where some people forget that there is so, and Cap knows this from recruiting, dirt poor, right? Like, the family has nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And once they go to the pros, they can be able to take care of their family. Sometimes it's a good thing, sometimes it's not, right? Where all of a sudden now the player didn't have any money. But he was able to get cash in to take care of his family, get him out of poverty, right? You've seen this firsthand, right?
I dealt with it.
Right.
I remember picking up a kid. His name was Bobby Russ from Skyline High School in Oakland.
So the old Black Panther, Bobby Rush. Tell me about it.
R-U-S-S.
Oh.
Russ.
I beg your pardon.
Not Bobby Rush.
Okay.
And I found him on a recruiting list. I got a tape on him. This is back in the 80s. Uh-huh. No Google or YouTube. Nothing.
Uh-huh.
6'7". Muscled up. We'll take that kid. He comes in for a visit. It's 35 below. He gets off. He's in jeans and a t-shirt. I'm like, Bobby, where's your coat? I don't own a coat. What? It's freezing here. Coach, I haven't eaten in 2 days. Mm. I don't own a coat. I'm making $4,200 a year. That's my salary.
Yeah.
We go to the Burlington Coat Factory. Now, it's a violation against the NCAA.
Sure.
I take him in there. I go, pick out a coat, get gloves, get a hat. Yes. Put it on my credit card. School's not going to pay me back for that.
Right.
It's illegal. What am I supposed to do? Let him freeze? He ended up signing and going to school there.
So you understand the point, Danny, where it's like, okay, you do this for two reasons. One, you get paid, but two, to get to the next level. Would you just be satisfied by being $1 million college athlete and never leaving campus?
No, but I think there are a lot of players that are split on leaving, right? Like, you see it with college basketball all the time. They want to stay for their senior year because the team is so stacked that they might be able to make a run to the Final Four. But on the other hand, this is my chance to go pro and make a lot of money. So if you can make a lot of money and stay at your alma mater where you have a chance to win and you have a chance to really make a run. Now, I'm not saying you stay at a school that has no shot. You're not coming back when you're a preseason number 15, right? But if you're a preseason one, you're a preseason two, and you can come back and still make all that money, why not go for the college championship? Why not enjoy that year of one more year of college and do, you know, live it up one more year before you go pro and all that pressure's on you?
See, there's the long-form conversation, isn't it, Cap? What is there still value from a player standpoint that's getting paid to win a national championship.
Well, let's take a kid like Ayo Dosunmu from Illinois.
Yeah.
He's not going to be a lottery pick, it doesn't look like.
I don't believe so.
Okay, so if they had had this name, image, likeness legislation a year ago, and somebody connected with Illinois said, hey, we can put a deal together, we'll pay you $1 million, like this quarterback at Alabama, come back and play for another year at Illinois, and he said, okay, I'm in. But he said, I want to take care of my family. Give him $1 million, maybe he becomes a better player.
Well, I'm all for more seasoning, especially for college basketball, as you know.
And for guys making money, man.
However, like with Gonzaga, now they're not even the four-year quality institution they used to be. That's going to be a one-and-done school. And maybe with the NIL, maybe that means they stay an extra year. But I expect Fuse players to be out. They're not going to be juniors and seniors, I don't believe.
See, I think the biggest problem is that the rich get richer in this situation. Part of the reason it's Bryce Young, right? Or part of the reason he's making so much money is because he's the quarterback of Alabama,
right,
the marquee program.
Okay, what if that kid was the quarterback at Florida State?
Well, okay, so here's
they're still going to pay him the same money.
Here's the thing. So you made a comment that it might make other teams better that have big boosters.
Uh-huh.
So I found a list of the 25 biggest boosters in college sports.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't say if they they support basketball or football, but it's just the 25 biggest donors in college sports. On the list, everyone went to a school that has dominant sports program. Number one's Florida State. Number two's Alabama. Three, Oregon. Four, Oklahoma. Five, Auburn. Six, Georgia. Seven, Michigan State. Eight, Ohio State. Nine, Texas A&M. 10, Baylor. The list goes on. There's not a school in there that doesn't already have a dominant program. So it's not like all of a sudden Loyola's going to get this booster that's going to get them the biggest players. It just, if they're not dominant in sports already, I don't think the money's going to make them dominant.
And selfishly, you want your Kansas guys to stay 4 years and to increase your chances to win a national championship.
Correct. And Kansas is not on the list of the top 25. So, Cap, can I have a loan?
No shot. All right.
Waddle's That's good stuff.
List of the most important Bears is next when we check in with TW's number six.
David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood. Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app.
We're going to get the Tom Waddle's list of the most important Chicago Bears. Starting to get down to the nitty-gritty. This is number six, Gregory Thomas Waddle of the Waddle and Sylvie Show.
Number six. I go back to the defensive side of the ball for number six. He is the youngest meaningful defender on the roster. That's a hint for you.
The youngest.
He's 22 years of age. He'll be in his second season. I like what I saw from him in his rookie campaign.
You're talking about the number one corner on this team.
Jalen Johnson is number six on my list. As I was saying, he started 13 games last year. I believe he got hurt and missed the last three games with a shoulder injury. I thought he was solid. He was picked on quite a bit because he was on the other side of the field from Kyle Fuller, and because he was a rookie, I thought he held his own. He did not have any interceptions. He had 15 passes defended. As I said, I think he was targeted quite a bit, and I thought he held his own for a rookie. He's going to have to take over for Kyle Fuller as the number one cornerback on this team, and it's very important that he improves, and it's very important that he improves and stays healthy. Remember, coming into his pro career, I believe he had a history of shoulder injuries, and I believe he missed, as I said, three games this past year with an injury. So he's got to stay healthy, and he's got to make strides and prove that he is a future bright spot on this defensive side of the football. He's a second-round pick, so there's going to be a lot asked of him. He needs to emerge as a foundation piece for this defense over the next 3 to 5 years. There's a lot of talk about this defense that was as dominant as any we've seen in a long time back in 2018. They were good in 19. They were still good, but not as good in 2020. And there were some moments where we were all very critical of them. He's got to be a piece to their defensive puzzle for the next 3 to 5 years. when you wave goodbye to a player that you and I had more appreciation for in Kyle Fuller than maybe others, he's got to step in and fill that void. So to me, again, remember one of my themes is building for the future. Jalen Johnson needs to take that next step and prove to us he does have the capacity at some point to be a difference-making number one corner in this league. So at number six, Jalen Johnson is the sixth most important bear on this roster for 2021.
I like it. I like it. Cap, he's the strength of the secondary now as far as a cornerback position is concerned.
Better be.
And what did you think of his? What did you think of him last year? Solid, right?
Solid.
Yeah.
Now, he had dealt with a shoulder injury coming out of Utah. He had the shoulder crop up again last year. And with Kyle Fuller now in Denver, he slots over and goes, oh, God, I got Julio Jones or I got this guy. I got the best of the best. It's going to be tough. I would have had him higher.
Kyle Fuller would have been here if Ryan Pace didn't mangle the cap. Wasn't great. Wasn't a great job by him on the cap. Now, again, you got to turn the page on some players at some point, but I don't see the next guy to fill the bill for Fuller. I mean, Jalen Johnson's one guy, but, like, we got Kendall Vildor a lot last year.
Get Desmond Trufant this year.
Vildor, if that's really his real name, who knows. But I just think that that's something that's very important for a defense that could be turned over in a couple of years. We went through this list yesterday with the NFL. In the next 3 years, where will the Bears be? Like bottom five. 27th, I think they had him, right?
27th in 3 years.
So Jalen Johnson has to be the strength of that. And it's not now, but for the next 2 or 3 years, he's got to be that guy growing into that position.
It all comes down to the development of Justin Fields. Period.
Yeah, but where is he on Tom's list?
Number one. Cap.
I don't think so. Sylvie said it's clear.
No.
Didn't Sylvie say he should have Justin Fields one?
No, and actually, I believe Waddle said, I don't know if he said it specifically, but he said folks may be surprised who the number one is, intimating that Fields may not be number one. So Fields is probably two. But so you think Jalen Johnson should be higher? We still haven't heard, you know, you've already said Jenkins is the most important in your opinion, right, Cap?
For me, I would have Tevin Jenkins number
one. So we haven't heard Mac, Jenkins, Fields, or Danny's pushing hard for Andy Dalton, right? Have we heard A-Rob? Has he given us A-Rob yet?
He has not been on the list.
You know, I mean, unless he just thinks A-Rob, you know what you're going to get, so he's not even on the list.
So you think it
he has to be on the
so,
list.
Yeah.
What if
Cole Kmet? We haven't heard Cole Kmet either, right?
What if Mac is one, Jeff?
I could buy that. I could see I can make the argument for why Khalil Mack would be number one. I could see that. Mm-hmm. I think Cap, though, you know, Tevin Jenkins is certainly a strong possibility, too, because he's your left tackle.
That was my point, that he was a right tackle in college. I think he's got about 300 snaps at left tackle in his career in college. But the majority of his snaps were at right tackle.
Like,
and he was projected by every metric he's going to be a first-round pick. They got him in the 30s.
Do you think Jalen Johnson's like the third most important on this team, like, Cap? Because you think he should be higher.
Top five?
Top five.
Five. Maybe that four or five then for
like
you, right?
When Tommy gave the rationale and Eddie Jackson tweeted, you know, I read all this blankety blank when he was mad. Cool. I like that a guy has a little edge to him. Means he's going to come out focused and ready to play to prove people wrong. He's gotten paid. He's healthy. He's got his coordinator back, Sean Desai, who he loved because he was underneath Fangio. Mm-hmm. Time to play now. But he wasn't the 12th best bear. I keep trying to make sure every day I say,
yes.
Tommy has made it clear. I didn't rank them on who's the best player. It's most important simply to this team.
Okay, Jeff, here's a question, okay? And this is for the record. Are you saying that if you believe with Cap that Tevin Jenkins, left tackle, will be number one on Tom's list, is Tevin Jenkins the gateway to a great or really, really solid offense for the Bears?
No, that's a fair. I think he's critical. His play is critical to how the Bears play out this season, but you could probably make do with an alternative to Jenkins and still have a successful season.
Yeah, you got the kid from Denver that you signed.
Yeah, but if he's a disaster, it's not going to work well for the Bears offensively.
So, Cap, are you saying any left tackle or Tevin Jenkins? Because if you believe he's the most important Bear to the for this upcoming season, then that means that you believe that he is the difference in a good offense or an average offense.
Yes,
that's what you're saying.
Yes, because you have a right-handed throwing quarterback, right-handed, which means his back is to the left side.
Yeah.
If Tevin Jenkins can't make the move from right to left, and that's not that easy. People think, oh, you just play on the other side. Everything is flipped.
Right.
If he can't play from the get-go, then who the hell is going to block the rush end? Muster, the Khalil Mack of the other team.
Muster for Orbars.
Their interior.
I'm just saying. The offensive line has moved around like deck chairs of the Titanic for years, right? You have to be interchangeable and flexible to play multiple positions on this offensive line because of injuries. We've seen this.
Yeah, Elijah Wilkinson is the backup at left tackle and right tackle.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how that shakes out. But, yeah, for me, Tevin Jenkins is critical to this team's success. Jesse Rogers on our baseball teams. Next.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
Our new morning show. This is Cap and Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Big weekend, Hoodrow. Big weekend. My son's getting married Saturday.
Ah, mazel.
Nick and Maggie. So congratulations to Nick and Maggie. Family's starting to swarm into town.
Swarm. Like they're a bunch of Charlotte Hornets.
That's it.
Swarm into town.
I'll be buzzing around Chicago. She's from Seattle, so there's a lot of people coming in.
Oh, wow. Long flight.
She's psyched for the Kraken draft tonight?
She is absolutely. She is a huge sports fan. They had Seahawks and Mariner season tickets. So,
Kraken draft.
It's the expansion draft. I get irrationally excited for expansion drafts. I don't know why.
Yeah, I'm like you.
Brother, I've got the Kraken shirt. You know, I got that.
You did.
I was first one in on that Kraken shirt.
You are.
Because I'm a goof and it's an expansion team. It's cool. New and it's like a different color. Like, okay, I got it. And I was like, Mike Thomas has the cap.
You better wear that tomorrow for Twitch, Hoodie. Tomorrow's the day to celebrate it. Yeah, you got the expansion draft is tonight.
Is it clean?
I got to check.
Check that.
I'm demanding it. I want to see the Kraken draft for all the Twitchers out there.
And for people out there like, what's the Kraken? That's the new NHL team in Seattle.
Yeah.
All right, Jesse Rogers is fueled by the Pride Stores. Not your typical convenience store. Check out one of their 15 Chicagoland locations today.
Jess.
Jesse, good morning.
Good morning, boys from St. Louis. What's happening, fellas?
Oh, you know what's happening.
Sleepy little Berg.
So, Jesse, you've been around championship teams for a long time. As a matter of fact, when you cover a team, usually that team wins a championship. When you see the White Sox, does it feel like a charm season, like the Cubs, like the Blackhawks that you've covered? Does it feel like a championship club?
Sure. Absolutely, it does because of that rotation. It's kind of what I've been saying for several months once they established themselves. Once we saw what Rodon was going to be and what Lance Lynn has been and then took it to another level here, yeah, I thought that they had that in them. Absolutely. It's not even a great comeback win over a bad team that tells me that. It's just this rotation is dominant, and that's without even Michael Kopech doing sort of peak Michael Kopech things. Just yet. He might get there by October. So, although he looked pretty good as well the other day. So, yes, Jonathan, because of that rotation, I've thought that for a while now.
So, Jesse, this team, and Hoodie talked about the charmed life that they're living, but it's not as charmed as we think simply because of all of the injuries.
It's not lucky like the 89 Cubs. I don't mean that.
No.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is it's not charmed like every night they have a different hero. Yes,
yeah.
They've had their share of misfortune they've had to overcome. So while we keep waiting for Chris Bryant or Kimbrel or Chafin or whoever, Javi, to get traded, how active is Rick really going to be on the south side?
All right, well, I'm going to blow your minds right now and give you some fodder for the rest of the show. So you ready?
Yep.
Yesterday at the Cubs game here in St. Louis, don't worry, this is going to go back to the White Sox, there were half a dozen scouts in the stands, okay? The Mets had a scout here, not a surprise. The Phillies had a scout here, not a surprise. The White Sox had not one, but two scouts in the stands watching the Cubs and Cardinals last night. Not one, but two out of six or seven that were here. Now, I don't think they were here for Chris Bryant. I don't think they were here for Baez or Rizzo. I think they were here for the guys you just mentioned, Tapera, Chafin. I doubt they're here for Kimbrel. But that's who was in the stands. Now, teams don't have a lot of scouts these days, so I took notice when there were two White Sox scouts here, and I don't think they're scouting the Cardinals, unless maybe it's a peripheral player. The Cardinals are not really selling the way the Cubs are.
Yadi
so I think
Molina.
I think Rickon is going to be active. Now, I'm not saying five guys are going to be, you know, with joining the Sox next week, but there's going to be one or two relievers. And these scouts got to see both Tapera and Kimbrel last night. I talked to Chafin yesterday. He's doing the whole, I'm trying to block it all out, but he knows he's going to be traded. Maybe he gets in the game tonight. So if two scouts are watching the Cubs, I imagine there's a few watching some other teams. So think about which Cubs could end up on the south side. I think it's those relievers.
So I'm not, as a Sox fan, I don't necessarily have to trade with the Cubs. There's other ball clubs I could trade with, but definitely a need for a second baseman. Definitely a need to replace Raymond Burr in the It is Raymond Burr. I'm going to be traded.
Not Ironside.
I'm not going to be around, yeah. So I think that, so you got to upgrade the middle relief. I think, and boy, if Chafin feels a little shaky, but that says a lot. So give me your prediction, Jesse, out of the three-headed monster out of that bullpen for the Cubs, Tapera, Chafin, and Kimbrel, who'll be left?
Maybe Tapera, maybe. I think Chafin and Kimbrel are definitely gone. They all three could be gone. And I think most likely to the White Sox would be probably Tapera. As Ryan Burr was blowing that game last night, Ryan Tapera was pitching a pretty clean inning. I think he allowed one runner, but no runs yesterday. So Tapera had an injury recently, so it's not a shock if scouts want to see him up close post-injury. So, I mean, the Sox might want Chafin. Bummer and Crochet, you know, I think you can live with them, but Chafin's having a dominant all-star type of year. So, I think all three could be gone. I really do. Look, if they're not going to get a ton for the position players, and I don't think Jed will, you got to get something for these pitchers that are having really good years. I mean, Craig Kimbrel might be just pound for pound the best pitcher in the game right now. You thought maybe sticky stuff might affect him because he used to have stuff on his hat. He looked dominant again last night. He's as good as anyone right now. Maybe not better, but as good as anyone.
I told Hoodie this morning when we were in the IDOT bullpen, by the way, driving responsibly in a construction and work zone really is a matter of life or death. Learn more online or through social media at lifeordeathillinois.com, that Kimbrel's number one in almost every analytic category. The only one I found where he was number two was in WAR. He's behind Josh Hader just barely because he didn't, in that 11-game losing streak, he never got a chance to pitch. Otherwise, he'd be number one in every category. So last night, Chris Bryant comes out of the game, and they said it's right hamstring fatigue. But right away, everyone thought, oh, God, look for the hug in the dugout. He just got traded.
Jesse.
Right?
You know, yes, everyone did. I did not think that because this is a guy that every time he dives in the outfield, something happens. He made a great diving catch, also in front of scouts, made a great throw later in the inning to second base, also in front of scouts, and then he came out of the game. I was like, here we go again. The diving catch did it to him, and I thought it was very interesting they called it right hamstring fatigue and not your normal soreness. I guess it's better to have the fatigue than the soreness because we know with hamstrings it can sort of linger. But David Ross explained it afterwards. It was just kind of a cumulative thing. His legs felt heavy, and they want to get him out of the game. Translation, they're taking it really careful with Chris Bryant. Now, I reported last week from the All-Star game, I thought the Mets were the clear front runner, and there was a chance that if he didn't go to the Mets, he'd stay through the deadline, and then they'd get the draft pick. I'm going to soften that a little bit. I still think it's the Mets, number one, without a doubt. But there's probably a few other teams lining up. But let's just tell everyone, though, remind everyone, the Cubs are not going to hit a grand slam, even for Chris Bryant. They're just not. They certainly aren't going to for Baez or Rizzo, and I don't think either one of them are moving. So if Bryant's moved, just do not expect a huge return. It's just not in the cards, in my opinion. For the pitchers, you're going to get more. Anyway, he came out of the game. It's got to be precautionary because of the trade situation. He's probably not going to play today. Maybe Jed's getting close, but you know, this is a guy that has gone down to the ground a few times this year and then come out of games. So it's good and bad. I mean, they're protecting him, but I wonder if other teams are seeing this and saying, well, you know, we got to be careful with this guy.
All right, Jesse, what's in your phone around Major League Baseball as far as those that could be traded? I need to know this because this might affect the Cubs and the White Sox. So are there names that you've heard that more than likely for sure will be traded?
Yeah, there's a few. Kyle Gibson of the Rangers is a big name out there. He just had a bad outing after the All-Star game. The thing I'm hearing is the NL West teams are really going to go after pitching. You know, the Dodgers have some issues between Trevor Bauer and injuries. Zach Davies could end up on the West Coast as well. Mm. So I'm hearing Kyle Gibson. Zach, you know, Davies pitched for the Padres last year and had a decent year. It doesn't sound like Max Scherzer or Adam Wainwright are going to get moved. I think there's a chance Scherzer could, because that's a situation where the Nationals could trade Scherzer and then re-sign him because he has a great relationship there. I don't think Wainwright wants to go. I don't think Molina wants to go. It's weird. The Cardinals are out of the race, and they're not talking about selling. They thought until last night, Jack Flaherty's coming back, and they have 13 games against the Brewers in the second half that they'd have a shot. But last night was a devastating loss for the Cardinals. So yes on Gibson, yes on Zach Davies, no on Wainwright, probably no on Scherzer, but not clear. And if the Sox or Cubs or Sox are looking for pitching, they're going to have to battle those West Coast teams, the Padres, Dodgers, and Giants, and A's, by the way. So there's going to be some movement out West for sure. That's the things I'm hearing right now.
Yadi Molina to the White Sox.
Well, he doesn't, well, no he doesn't want to move.
No shot.
Yeah, I mean, like,
no
get,
shot.
Get out of there, Molina. Get yourself in a position to win a ring, for God's sake.
Get another ring. All right, Jesse, have a great day.
Okay, guys. Talk to you later.
Appreciate you. There you go. So two White Sox scouts at the Cubs game in St. Louis last night.
Davies.
Interesting.
You don't mind Davies getting out of there anytime soon, right?
Get his beak out of here.
You don't want Davies around.
Mark Wahlberg got really big, really fast. That's next.
Take that.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie. Bah, bah,
bah, bah, bah. And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
So we like to talk about what we eat and diet and exercise and do all the right things and all of it. Danny hosts an awesome podcast called The Armchair Nutritionist. And so he found a story. Like, I'm a huge Mark Wahlberg fan. I like that guy. I think he's cool. I think his lifestyle's cool. He's a workout guy. He gets after it. And then he got really, really big. I mean, really big.
And now you don't like him as much.
I still do.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Really fast. Danny, how fast did it take him to gain like 20 pounds?
He gained 20 pounds in 2 weeks, so it's really interesting. So he's doing a movie where he's playing a former boxer who turns into a priest. It's called Father Stew. And he said in an interview that he's been wanting to make the movie for 6 years, but he couldn't get it made. And then all of a sudden they're like, all right, get it made, but you have 30 days to shoot it. So he had to put on 20 pounds in 2 weeks, which is really difficult.
Now, Danny, in that spot, whatever happened to this good old-fashioned fat suit? You know, the little extra stuff that you put on over the top of your shirt.
Underneath
your shirt.
What was that movie that Eddie Murphy...
Eddie Professor?
Nutty Professor. Yeah. He wore the fat suit. Right.
Or like the one James Harden wore at the beginning of the season.
All right. Out of there, Mellor. He's got no rings.
The munchies will do
none.
That to you.
So help us out now. How many calories did he have to eat?
So he ate 11,000 calories in a day. 11,000 calories a day. Now, keep in mind, Mark Wahlberg is a fitness fanatic, right? Mm-hmm. So you could eat 11,000 calories in a day by eating a lot of fast food and eating donuts and ice cream and eating all the stuff that you say to yourself, boy, if I didn't have to worry about my health, I would indulge in.
Yes.
But that is really bad for you. And Mark Wahlberg wants to get back into shape because the dude is jacked when he's not filming roles like this. So he went about it a real healthy way. So I put together, guys, a menu that kind of mirrors what he would have done to eat 11,000 calories in a day. And I put together a menu of just eating purely McDonald's.
Okay. So can I hear the latter first?
So you want McDonald's first.
Yes.
You got it, Hoodie.
How can you get 11,000 calories from just McDonald's? Let's hear this.
It's tough, right? So you're going to start your morning with McDonald's breakfast. You're going to have two Egg McMuffins, a Sausage McMuffin, and a hash brown. Also, you're going to wash that down with a large orange juice.
Okay.
Your first lunch at McDonald's, so you're having multiple lunches. Here I figure you're eating every 3 to 4 hours, right? Which is going to be really hard to eat McDonald's again 3 to 4 hours later.
Sure.
So we're talking
like a 6 a.m. breakfast? We all agree on that, 6 a.m.?
Yeah, 6 a.m.
Yeah,
all right.
That's fair.
So now this is like a 9 to 10 a.m. snack, Danny?
Yeah. Let's go 10 a.m.
Instead of a cigarette break, you're going to go get a little food in.
Correct.
None wrong with that. Go ahead.
And this is a lighter lunch, guys. You're going to have a Big Mac, a cheeseburger, just a normal regular cheeseburger, a 6-piece chicken nugget, a large fry, and a large Dr. Pepper to wash that down.
Boy, now you gave me two burgers in that spot.
Well, you've got a Big Mac, and then you've just got a simple plain cheeseburger.
Side cheeseburger.
Yes. You've got to get the calories.
The cheeseburger is an appetizer.
Sidecar. Correct.
I've been there.
I would go Big Mac first and then cheeseburger because I think you got to get the Big Mac down first.
I've been there, but like 2 a.m., but never like in the midday. But go ahead.
I will say this. When I wasn't watching what I ate like I do today, when I was in high school, the Big Mac was my favorite food in the entire world.
Yeah.
Then we go on to our second lunch, guys. Here you're having a double quarter pounder with cheese. You're having I mentioned the wash it down with Dr. Pepper.
Yes.
Second one, double quarter pounder with cheese. You are having 6-piece chicken nuggets, and this time you have to have 2 cheeseburgers. You're going to wash that down with a high C orange because everyone loves high C orange when you go to McDonald's.
Yes.
High C orange. Wow. I haven't had that in 40 years.
If Peacock splurges that she likes that.
High
she'll
C
do
orange.
That. Yeah, she'll do that.
Now, I've got you having a mid between second lunch and dinner snack where you're going to have a caramel macchiato and an apple pie.
Always quality.
Always quality. Yeah. Now you're going back for your dinner.
I'm about to throw up.
Your dinner is a quarter pounder with cheese deluxe, a spicy.
What does that mean, a deluxe?
It's got mayo.
Yeah,
bacon.
Pickles. Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
This is your biggest meal of the day, but it's dinner. Most of us eat dinner as our biggest meal. Quarter pounder with cheese deluxe, spicy deluxe, crispy chicken sandwich, a quarter pounder with cheese and bacon. You have to have a filet of fish, a large fry, and you're washing that down with a McFlurry with M&Ms.
Oh, my God.
And there, my friends, is 11,000 calories at McDonald's.
I mean, just double, tripling, quadrupling down on the burgers.
Oh.
Like, the first time you have it, you just want to take a nap and just crawl into a fetal position, right? But then you're going back for more. That's tough.
Sidebar, may I approach?
Yes. We've got to get to the other side of this menu, though.
Did you say you'd rather have the Big Mac? I know Danny said he was a Big Mac guy. The Big Mac or the quarter pounder deluxe or whatever it is?
I'd rather have the quarter pounder.
Okay, yeah, I'm with you.
For me.
Royale with cheese. For me.
Royale with cheese.
Would you get out of there?
What is a Royale?
Oh, come on, Kaplan. You got to know this.
I haven't eaten at McDonald's in a decade.
It's from a movie. Probably
you should
one
go
of the
order,
most
order a Royale ever. With cheese the next time you're there.
Yes, and they'll know what you mean.
Okay.
All right, guys, quickly what Mark Wahlberg probably ate for breakfast.
The other side.
So
put your hands down. Here we go.
He's got to have 2 breakfasts. His first breakfast is simply 4 eggs. Boom, 4 eggs, scrambled however you want it. Just get those calories in you. His second breakfast, we got to step it up a little bit. We're going to go 8 eggs. We're going to go about 6 or 7 strips of bacon. We're going to have rice. We're going to cover that all with olive oil, and we're going to wash it down with a protein shake.
Oh, God.
Oof.
Then he's having lunch. Lunch is going to be ground beef of some sort, hamburger, meatloaf, whatever you'd like,
sure.
Some more rice, and a small salad.
A lot of rice there already in that spot.
Correct.
Okay.
That's how you're going to bulk up the healthy way.
Ooh. All right, Danny, hold that. We'll come back to his meals already in progress. We're back in 2 minutes.